Hi, everyone. This is the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Show. Welcome. I have a terrific guest tonight, and I'd love it if you'd call in. She's a great coach, and she knows a lot about making your life after divorce successful. So what if you could have a life with more joy and fun and a lot more adventure? Does that sound good to you? Well, to get that life, you really have to be aware of where your energy is. And as most of you know, I'm a core energy coach, so I can tell where you are energetically and what you need to do to shift it. My question for you is, where were you today energetically? Think back to this morning, at lunch, this afternoon, and now during the evening. Did your energy level change throughout the day? Do you remember what caused those changes? And what helped you have more control over your energy level? Measuring your energy level over the course of the day, do you remember being in the victim mode? Do you remember feeling angry? Or did you have a good day that was everything was okay and you took total responsibility for your actions? If this is your first exposure to energy levels, don't worry. Just do your best guess, because it'll become clear about how all this works as you listen to the program and learn more about it. If you've been listening to the program for a while and have pinpointed some of the challenges in your life that gets you into that victim or angry energy level, that's great. The more conscious you are and the more conscious you become of where your energy is throughout the day, the more you're able to work with yourself to find higher levels of energy. And I'm going to give you a really good example of how other people's energy affects yours. I have an email I received from a listener. And she says, I'm pretty sure it's a girl, she says, I'm not sure my best friend is a good person for me to hang out with. She's extremely negative and critical of almost everything. We've been friends for a long, long time, and I don't know what to do. Help! Well, you know, I don't think this is an uncommon problem. First of all, I give you a lot of credit for realizing that she's like that and also realizing that, she's probably not a good person for you to spend a lot of time with. I think the first step is, now that you're aware of it, is to very gently bring that up to her, and she might not be aware of how she's affecting you. And, of course, if she's affecting you that way, she's probably affecting everyone she knows in the same way. And I'm thinking that she'll either get really miffed and maybe just dump you, kind of on the spot. And, you know, that's okay. But you can certainly ask to take a little break from the relationship for a while and see if something changes. Because I guarantee that you'll be amazed at how much better you feel without her, not being around that negative energy all the time. And the other good part of it is that you'll probably be really surprised at who shows up in your life with her being absent from it. Because when you spend that much time around someone with that negative energy and being critical and stuff, I think people would tend to lump you kind of in the same category and avoid you as well. So I think you've probably... will be open to a lot more opportunities to interact with people who have the same energy level that you do and not, you know, won't be dragging you down. And certainly you might even find people who, you know, really motivate you to feel even more positive than you are right now. So, you know, have a conversation with her. You realize that it's an unhealthy relationship to stay in. Have a conversation with her, see what she says, and either... I'm guessing either, you know, you're going to take a break from her or she's going to dump you. I don't know that she's going to be able to, you know, really make a dramatic shift without some coaching and feedback from, you know, an outside source. So good luck with that. But I think you're definitely on the right track. I have another email from, this is actually from last week. I didn't get a chance to address it. This person writes in and says, I've been listening to your show for the past 4 weeks and have become more conscious of when I'm in that angry kind of victim mode and when I'm feeling really positive, but I'm tired of the day-to-day roller coaster ride of being, you know, up and down. At this point, consciousness sucks. Can you help? I'm impatient to stop feeling a victim at times. Well, you know, again, to you, I'm giving you a lot of credit for being really aware of where you are energetically throughout the day. And I think once you initially become aware of where you are going to feel like you're on a roller coaster, because it does shift throughout the day depending on the circumstances of the day. And it takes definitely a lot of awareness to know where you are and know that you can choose not to feel that way. So, you know, I always use the example of being in a line someplace. People get so cranky being in lines. And you don't have to be cranky being in a line. I mean, we all have the same amount of time. You can, you know, read something, jot down notes, think about your next vacation. You know, think about positive stuff instead of how long the line is and how much junk the person in the ahead of you has in their cart, that kind of a thing. So your awareness will allow you to be, I'm going to say, temperate a little bit more. And I always use the word flipping your switch, because once you're aware of where you are energetically and how it's making you feel, which is not making you feel good, it doesn't sound like, because you said you're really tired of it, then you're able to, you know, shift into that, just become more detached and don't let the what's going on in your surroundings affect you quite so much, because it doesn't have to. Not everybody standing in line is aggravated and feeling like, woe is me, I always picked the long line, which I know people always say. That cracks me up. It's like, that's the perfect victim. They always get in the longest line. So you're impatient for this to stop, and I understand that. And it will, as you become more aware of how you're feeling, and just flip that switch and think about something better than whatever it is you were thinking about, because you don't have to feel that way. And over time, you'll become a lot more even, but there certainly will be moments, it's never going to go away, that you're not going to be, shifting a little bit up and down. But it won't be, you're describing a roller coaster, and it won't always be quite that bad. So let me know how that goes. Let me know as you become more aware of where you are, to try and stay in a real stable, balanced frame of mind, because you'll just, you know, your day will go by so much better if you're able to do that. So those are two emails about people who are having what I would call just really good examples of energy problems. One with her friend, who probably isn't going to be her friend much longer because of her negative attitude. And then this last person, Sarah, who described her day as being a roller coaster because of, now that she's aware of what's going on energetically with her, she's struggling with it a little bit, but it'll smooth out over time. So there you have it. Good luck. Good luck to both of you folks. Now I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself and how I got into core energy coaching. I'm the girl in the past who everyone was always calling for advice. I'm not even kidding. I would be on the phone pretty much all evening after I'd finished dinner. People would call me and go on and on and on about whatever their problems were. Usually it was my girlfriends, and they all had various issues in their lives. Some of them had bad jobs. Some had bad husbands. Some had low self-esteem. Some had weight problems. You name it, it was all over the place. But, you know, it's really easy when you're not the person with the issue to give advice about stuff. So I was very rational and very logical, very detached about helping my friends, but I was definitely giving advice. It was coming from me. Certainly I was giving them advice and in their best interest, but it was coming from my perspective and not from their perspective, because I'm not them. I can't put myself in their position. But as I began to read more about energy and how our thoughts and feelings really affect our lives in good and bad ways, things really changed for me. And I did want to continue helping people, but not in what I was doing, which I would call a Band-Aid way, because we were doing problem solving, which I guess I'm good at, in a you know, Band-Aid sort of way. Nothing was getting remedied in the long run. Nothing was going to change long term. It was just, you know, kind of like putting out fires, like maybe your boss does at work all day. It's not a long-term solution. It's just fixing it for the day just so you don't fall apart that day. So once I decided I was going to pursue a coaching career, I chose a program very specifically that focused on core energy. And you know how we've always heard about people with bad vibes or people who have a black cloud following them around? So, you know, really this core energy stuff made perfect sense to me because I had, I think, intuitively known this for a long time because, believe it, I would go to great lengths to avoid certain people who were, you know, always in a bad place. I had a roommate for a short time once, and after I moved out, I think when I lived with her, I must have had a big box of Band-Aids when I lived with her. I'm sure I needed them. She would continue to call me and bemoan her crummy job. Either she had a boyfriend who was not a good boyfriend, or she was looking for a boyfriend. So she had this ongoing litany of issues that never ever changed. So this was before caller ID, so I would always duck her calls. And one time I answered the phone, not by mistake, but it was not a good night to answer the phone. And I told her, I said, I can't take another second of this. I've known you like 5 years and nothing has changed. Because she always asked me for advice and I always gave it to her, but nothing changed. So that was probably the last time I decided that I was going to give anybody advice whose life didn't, you know, shift over a period of time, because I was just wasting my time, and she certainly wasn't anyone I wanted to spend time with because she was definitely a serious black cloud person, that's for sure. So, you know, being aware of where people are energetically has allowed me, as, you know, myself, to interact with people a lot more successfully, and that makes it, you know, much easier for me to help people in my coaching practice. Because when you're in that, you know, when you're being the victim, when you're afraid, when you're suffering from low esteem, or when you're, you know, just angry at the world and think everyone's out to get you, it's really hard to imagine that life could ever be fun, and certainly not much of an adventure. But, you know, with coaching, you can really make positive changes and move forward. And as I've said before, I really want to help you create a life that works for you. And we have, as I mentioned, we have a really, I guess I kind of think she's inspirational, a guest coach on tonight. So now we'll take a short break and be back. And I'm going to give you the call-in numbers first so you're prepared to call in, because she would love to work with you over the phone in short speed coaching sessions. And the numbers to call in are 530-413-4520. Another one is 415-287-0074. So we'll look forward to your calls in a few minutes. Thanks. everyone. This is the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Program. And tonight, I'm really pleased to introduce a friend of mine, Keiko Sue. She's a certified life coach with over 20 years leadership experience in the corporate world. She's the founder and owner of Wings for Women, and she's based in San Francisco. She's very involved in the International Coaching Federation as well in San Francisco. Welcome, Keiko.
Good evening. How are you, Brenda?
I'm good. Well, you know, the best thing about you, Keiko, is that your life has been an adventure. So I think I'd love to have you share with everyone about your life as an adventure.
Oh, I'd love to. I definitely consider my life to be an adventure. And, you know, I knew you were going to ask this question, Brenda, so I went to the dictionary to find out what is the actual definition of adventure.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking at it. It said that an adventure is an exciting experience with an unconventional and unpredicted outcome. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting because I think I've done a lot of unconventional things all my life.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in Okinawa, Japan, on a U.S. military base, and it was always expected that I would come to the U.S. to go to college, and I ended up immigrating by myself at the age of 17 into this country. My parents and my family came to this country 8 years later. So I think at the age of 17, you know, coming to this country all by myself was a huge adventure, and I really got a thrill out of it. You know, it was something I had to do. And it, you know, it wasn't as scary as some people might think, but it was definitely something unconventional that I did. And then I think one of the other unconventional things that I did was I entered a very male-dominated industry. I became an engineer. And so I went to Duke University on the East Coast. So I flew all the way from Japan, from Okinawa, Japan, to North Carolina coast, and I went to Duke University to engineering school, and that was very, very male-dominated at that time. It still is, and I graduated from there, went into the engineering field, and worked there for a couple of years before I joined the corporate world, and so then I joined General Electric Company, you know, very huge corporation, mm-hmm. and was with them for 28 years and had a lot of leadership positions. And, that you know, it's also a very male-dominated industry for my particular division of GE. It was more in the electrical construction industry, very male-dominated. So I feel like my life really has been an adventure and all the way through now. So the most recent adventure was that 2 years ago, and I guess I didn't consider it to be an adventure at the time. It was my life was completely upside down because of a divorce and a layoff. And that was two huge changes that I went through during the same year. And I consider it kind of a double whammy. So I was divorced. I got divorced after being married for 26 years. And I took a layoff from General Electric Company after being with them for 28 years, and both of them happened during the same year. And, you know, rather than being miserable about it, I decided that the best thing to do was to just use that as a reason to reinvent myself and start a whole new chapter of my life. And so I asked myself, you know, I was 52 years old, and I asked myself, well, what do I want to do for the next 50 years? And that was a very empowering question that I asked myself, because a lot of people at that age might think, well, you know, I'm too old to do anything new, and I kind of took a different viewpoint about that.
Oh, absolutely.
Said, so I said, well, what do I want to do for the next 50 years of my life? Because I plan to live until I'm 100.
That's a great goal.
So you know, by asking myself that, what do I want to do for the next 50 years, allowed me to ask myself some other very key questions that really made me think. So I asked myself three questions at that time. This was right after my divorce and my layoff. And I said, if I if I could do anything that I wanted, if I had no constraints whatsoever, you know, financially, physically, or geographically, the three questions I asked myself was, well, first of all, what do I want to do? The second question was, where do I want to live? And the third question was, what kind of people do I want to hang around with? And that just opened up a whole world of possibilities for me. And so having that kind of adventurous spirit, I said, well, I want to move to San Francisco. And I've been living on the East Coast since college, you know, so uh-huh. I've never lived on the West Coast before. But there was something about San Francisco that just really, really resonated with me every time I visited there. And so I thought, you know, if I could start a whole new chapter of my life, that's where I want to live. So I flew out to San Francisco several times, ended up buying a condo with a beautiful panoramic view of the San Francisco Bay. And now I'm just ecstatic. I feel like I have a dream life now. You know, I have a fabulous social life. I live in the city of my dreams. I just met my soulmate 4 months ago, and now I feel like I'm happier than I ever thought was possible. and best of all, you know, now in terms of my work, you know, I'm working as a life coach. I went through the training, got certified, and now I get to help other women who are going through major life transitions, such as divorce or, you know, major career change or some other kinds of major transitions. So just tying back to your original question, I feel like my life has absolutely been an adventure.
And it sounds like you've only used up 2 to 3 years of the 50 you have left.
That's
who
right.
Knows? So who knows what you have up your sleeve for the next 47? It's going to get better.
Yeah.
You just sound so brave to, you know, to do all this, to come by yourself when you were 17. And you mentioned that you were in engineering, and you know, you're an Asian woman, foreign-born, and you're involved in that. And at that time, you must have been in such a minority. I'm just amazed.
Yeah, definitely was a minority
in more ways than
which,
one.
You know,
yeah. So tell me how you keep your perspective and you know your life in perspective on a daily basis.
Well, you know, I think my attitude is that I always try to look for the silver lining in the cloud. So no matter what mm-hmm. happens, whether it's something minor that happens during the day or whether it's something major like a divorce or a layoff, I really try to look for the silver lining in the cloud. So mm-hmm. rather than getting really upset, which really doesn't serve any purpose at all, you know, to be upset about something like
right.
that, I prefer to see what is the lesson that I'm learning from that particular situation and what should I do next? You know, what is it really telling me that I should do next? And so as I look back over my divorce and my job layoff, I really look at them as gifts because that allowed me to start a whole new chapter of my life, and I'm so much happier now than I was before. So I think that's how I keep my life in perspective.
See, that's what I think most people miss. It's like, you know what? You have no idea how much better you're going to feel in 6 months if you just make this one change, you know, in your life. And you made a mm-hmm. lot of changes in your life, and now your life is, I mean, you could never have imagined that it would be this way today.
No, never. I would not.
Especially with finding your soulmate, that's a biggie.
It was a huge mm-hmm. development, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A huge gift.
That's for sure. Well, let's tell me a little bit. I mean, I'm familiar with your work, but I would love to have you share with the listeners what your work is about and just whatever you want to share about it.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And as you mentioned, I'm a life coach. I'm certified as a life coach. My business is called Wings for Women. And my business is dedicated to coaching, mentoring, and training for women going through major life transitions, especially divorce. I do my coaching by phone, so I can help executive and professional women anywhere in the country or actually anywhere in the English-speaking world.
Mm-hmm.
clients are women who have successful careers, but whose personal life has fallen apart because of a recent divorce. And what if you're one of those types of women, you would probably find yourself being very lonely and very isolated and feel like you don't have anyone you can talk to about your personal life. And so most of my clients are women who are in situations like that, who really want to rebuild their lives after a divorce. And they're ready to take action to change the quality of their life. And they're looking for somebody to inspire them and to push them out of their comfort zone. And so what I do is I help them to find their wings. That's why we call it Wings for Women. Uh-huh. And help them to develop a roadmap to really nourish their heart and soul. Mm-hmm. And to create that life after divorce that they've always wanted and that they really deserve.
Oh, your work sounds wonderful, Keiko. Because I've never been in that situation. I certainly know plenty of women who have. And I think you had two major things happen within a two-year period with your layoff and your divorce. And I think that's not uncommon. I think there's usually some other issues that happen because of a divorce. You know, certainly a move. A lot of people have to move geographically after a divorce, and, you know, that really shakes things up as well. And then, you know, there's that friends issue. It's like, you know, some people, they split the friends. I mean, I don't know how it works, but, you know, there's just so much that they need support in. And, you know, you're the person who's able to do that. You've been there. You successfully navigated it. And, you know, what you're doing, I think, is really, really helpful to a lot of people. Now, I'm sure some people want to know, do you coach men?
Well, you know, I think men who are recently divorced need a lot of help as well, well as women. My view is that they are better supported by a male life coach who really understands the particular issues of male divorcees. Mm-hmm. My own passion is really to help women because that's who I relate to. I can directly apply my own life experience to the unique needs of women who have gone through divorce, especially the unique needs of executive and professional women who've been through divorce. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I focus my work on. And for men who are out there who also need help, there are male life coaches who also help in this type of life situation or life transition. So I would rather refer men to a male life coach.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. And I think most people don't realize that there are, just as a lot of the women who coach have very specific niches that the men do too. And you and I both know a coach in LA who specializes in grief and loss. So that type of coach is definitely out there. So if there are any men listening and you need someone like that, you can either contact Keiko or I, and we can certainly get you the name of a coach to follow up with. So when you're talking about coaching, I know some people might not understand the difference between, going to a coach or getting counseling. I know there's tons of counselors who specialize in, you know, definitely marital counseling and then after the divorce kind of counseling too. So what would you recommend as like a first step for someone who's, I'm not even saying they're finally divorced, but definitely they know they're getting divorced. Who should they really go to first?
Well, I would recommend that if you're going through a divorce, that you first go see a counselor or a psychotherapist. Uh-huh. Because as you can imagine, going through a divorce is a very emotionally traumatic event. And sometimes it can be the most emotionally traumatic event, let alone financially traumatic, as well. Mm-hmm. But going to a counselor can help you to address the grief and the loss, because that's what really needs to be addressed first. Depending on the severity of the situation, it might take anywhere from 3 months to 12 months of counseling to address the emotional trauma. But once mm-hmm. they've gotten past the grief and they've reached that point of emotional acceptance, then they would be ready to get help from a coach. And what a coach can help with, which is different than what a counselor can do, what a coach will do is to help them identify or clarify their goals for their life. and to develop a roadmap for rebuilding their life after the divorce. And whether that has to do with, you know, your personal life, or whether it has to do with your relationships, or whether it has to do with your career, because a lot of times when you go through a divorce, it also impacts your career. It might also be a good opportunity to move to a different location, or it could be to start a business of your own. If you are in a marriage and if you have not been working for a while, this might be a good time to start a business, or it might be a good time to go back to the workforce. So there are a lot of different aspects of rebuilding your life after divorce, and that's what a coach like myself can help with.
You know, what I think is interesting, Keiko, because I've shared this with listeners before, my husband died, and I think the hardest part of losing your spouse is that you don't have a plan. You know, whatever plan you had, it went poof. And so when you're talking about helping their develop their goals, it's like their own personal goals, whereas before they probably had goals as a couple and as marriage partners. They had some long-term goals in mind, and now those are gone. So it really is, you know, like you said, inventing your life all over again. It's complicated.
Yeah, and you're right. A lot of times people are not clear about what their goals are, especially after they've been through a huge shakeup like a divorce, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever goals they had are probably out the window and have to be recreated or just reinvented.
Right.
And one of my newer clients told me something that really got her thinking about why she needed coaching, and that was that. And by the way, she's a very successful executive. She's the president of her company, and one of her board members had asked her about her. I guess she was presenting the 3-year plans for her company. You know, 3-year goals,
mm-hmm.
and vision.
Mm-hmm.
Company, and one of the board members asked her, "Well, what is the 3-year plan for your life?" And she thought for a minute, and she said, "You know what? I don't really have one. I don't really have a 3-year plan for my life." And it really got her thinking, and it bothered her because here she is. She's very, you know, very organized. She's very strategic, and when it comes to her business, she always has a plan. But she realized that for her life, she didn't have one. And
mm-hmm.
so she said, you know, I'm going to have to get some help to help me clarify what do I really want for the next 20 years of my life,
mm-hmm.
you know, or next 50 years of her life.
Yeah, it's tricky, and I think that's where a coach really comes in because, you know, you can make the roadmap, you can make the plan, and just like you did, you can still make allowances for spontaneity and, you know, the things that you've done in the last 2 years, you know, weren't really seriously planned. You left a lot of room open for something even more wonderful, and that's what happened, you know. So that's interesting.
Yeah,
so
and that's
when
you're
go ahead.
Go ahead. That's a very good point, Brenda, because one of the things that I teach my clients is that it's important to have real good clarity on what you want, but not necessarily how to get it.
Oh, yeah,
so
good distinction, yeah.
It's too rigid about the how to get mm-hmm. there, but you want to be very clear on the what, you know, the
mm-hmm.
outcome. What is the outcome that you want? What do you see yourself doing, or how do you want to feel, you know, 5 years from now or even 1 year from now?
Right.
How do you see yourself living? And so it's more of an outcome-based clarity that you want, or that you should try to get that kind of clarity about the outcome without necessarily having to figure out exactly how to get there.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to go. So I think you've touched on some of these already, but what aspects of their life do you really work on? And I know you've talked about a couple of these already, but can you just tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. It really depends on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, after they go through a divorce, really feel that the biggest need that they have is they want to find another life partner. And so then we talk about relationships and friendships and how to be able to come up with a plan for, first of all, your goal, you know, when you mm-hmm. say you want a life partner, what kind of life partner are you looking for? What, you know, what, how soon do you want this person to be in your life? What do you see yourself doing with this person? So some people really want to focus on the relationships. Other people want to focus on their career or want to focus on starting a business or growing their business. Other people want to use this opportunity after divorce to start a whole new life in another location, like myself. When I moved to San Francisco from the East Coast 14 months ago, it was because I wanted to start a whole new chapter of my life in a whole different place. And I decided to pick San Francisco because it really resonated with me, and it just it fit all the criteria of a place that I wanted to live. So that might be an area of focus for somebody who wants coaching. It really depends on the individual.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, because I'm thinking that there's, I mean, I know some women who have been divorced quite a while now, and getting married again is like the last thing on earth they want. But they would be totally up for a lot of other things. So, like you said, it very much depends on what they really want to do. And we know once you figure out what their goal is, then you can help them navigate, you know, that route, so to speak. So, I want to hear about one of your most successful client experiences.
Sure. I would say my most successful client experience is a woman named Marie who is a mid-level manager in a very large corporation. She recently went through a divorce within the past 2 years, went through a divorce which was an amicable divorce. So she didn't have to, you know, wasn't trying to work through a lot of the emotional grief or anything. So the reason that she hired me was because she was not real happy with the progress that she was making after her divorce. I mean, she was a very independent woman. She's very successful in her career. But she really wasn't very happy. You know, she was kind of living on autopilot, just feeling that kind of, you know, gnawing sense of dissatisfaction. She was dating somebody, but it was not an ideal relationship. She was thinking about leaving her job. She wanted to move to Florida. She loves riding horses. And so she wanted to move to Florida, bring her horse down there, and then be able to take care of the horse and work from there. And she wanted to start her own business, but she really wasn't sure what she wanted to do. What she did know, though, was that she needed to get some action. She really wanted to take some action to get clear on what her goals are and what she wanted to do with her life. So we worked together for about 4 months, and what I helped her with was I helped her to really get clear on her vision for her life, and to really identify her core values and her passions, because I think that's really important to set a foundation for your goals, is to really understand what really makes you happy. You know, what are your goals, what are your passions, and what's really important to you in terms of your values? Because it's really important to align yourself with your core values and to be very authentic about who you are. And oftentimes, you don't even think about that until you work with a coach, and you really sometimes get confronted with who you are, really, truly, versus who you're acting to be. And so I helped her with that. And then she did make some life-changing decisions, and she ended up moving to Florida, and she ended up deepening her relationship with her boyfriend. And he ended up moving to Florida with her. And so her relationship just took on a whole nother level. And she was able to renegotiate her job without leaving her place of employment. She was able to restructure her job to allow her to live in Florida and to work from Florida. And so she's so much happier with her job as well as with other aspects of her life. And I asked her to write a testimonial for me. Can I share that with you?
Sure, I'd love to hear it.
Sure. What she said was, when I started working with Keiko, I felt like I was stalled and could not move forward. I was lacking in clarity and direction. Keiko was instrumental in asking the right and sometimes tough questions to help me find the parts of me that I lost. I'm very grateful to Keiko for facilitating the transformation. I'm crystal clear on what is important to me now, and the realization that I have it in me, make it happen. And she closed by saying, Yahoo!
Oh, that's great. Well, you know what? What I really resonated with is when you said she felt like she was stalled, because people always use the term, I feel stuck. And it's like they're not stuck. It's almost like you're in that transition period where you just, it's like a tipping point. You just need that nudge energetically in the right direction, and then you're on a roll. So when she said she was stalled, it definitely does sound like she was stalled, because she just, nothing was really, I'm going to say, cooking for her, right? She was just, everything was just so-so, and she wanted more. And so you got her definitely into that more spot, that's for sure, because it sounds like everything changed and in a really positive, good way. So good work, Keiko.
Can you
give us a quick summary of your practice? Because the listeners know that you work with women going through divorce, but I know you do some other things as well. So why don't you just summarize your practice?
Sure. Just as a summary, my business is called Wings for Women, and I'm dedicated to coaching, mentoring, and training for women who are going through major life transitions, especially divorce. My clients are anywhere in the country, or really anywhere in the English-speaking world, because I do my work by telephone. And what I focus on are executive and professional women who have successful careers but whose personal life has fallen apart because of divorce, and they're ready to rebuild their lives. So I help them to find their wings and to develop a roadmap, to get in touch with their core values and their passions, and to nourish their heart and soul and create a life after divorce that's even better than the life they had before. And I think a really important point here is that life is too short to live a mediocre life. You can live a life of joy, really get in touch with what's important to you, and use this divorce as a chance to just rebound into a whole nother chapter of your life. And this is called finding your wings. This is called living your passions.
That sounds great.
If you want any more information, my website is www.wingsforwomen.net.
Okay, and that'll be posted on the meetingbrenda.com website as well. We're going to take a short break, and then we'd love to hear some callers, and Keiko has lots of good ideas to help you. So we'll take a short break. Thanks.
Never, never, ever gonna say goodbye. Hold me in your arms tonight. We'll be together forever and ever, 'cause I'm never, never, ever gonna say goodbye. You'll always be on my mind. We'll be together forever.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Program, and I have with me my guest coach, Keiko Su from San Francisco. And Keiko just described for us how her life has been an adventure the last couple of years. And I'm just going to use the word brave because I think you're really brave for what you've accomplished. And the funny thing is 2 weeks ago, I gave the listeners a really long laundry list of ways they could make their life more of an adventure, and I think you did a lot of them, Keiko. I even told them, get this, I said, move, go someplace new where nobody knows you, and be the you you always wanted to be. And, you know, I know you personally, you're a very genuine human being. So I think you're probably, you know, pretty much the same person you were on the East Coast, but it just cracks me up because you've just done so many things to make your life more of an adventure because you took something that a lot of people perceive as a really unpleasant, bad situation with this double whammy of the job and the divorce, and you totally turned it around and recognized this big opportunity you had to just take a big leap forward. And, you know, congratulations to you for being a really good role model in that respect.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you are, because a lot of people would just, you know, I don't know. I mean, we were even talking about, you said you have 50 years left. Well, someone your age would say, gee, I could retire. If I have enough money, I don't really have to work again. I think I'll just stay home and, you know, watch TV or something and never even think about, you know, you went back to school, you started a business, you've just done so many new things. I mean, too numerous to mention.
Well, you know, and everybody has choices that they can make about their life. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's incumbent on people to recognize when there's a great opportunity to make another major choice. And so you can either be miserable, you know, when you go through a divorce or some other major traumatic event. You can either be miserable about it, or you can just wake up and just recognize that the being miserable isn't really serving you. Mm-hmm. And you can put those feelings aside and look at the positive side of things. It's an opportunity for you to make a whole new chapter of your life that might turn out to be even better than the last chapter, as is the case for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm sure as you meet with women and talk to them that haven't had coaching, I know you'll find people just like myself. There's a really funny book called this is Bitter with Baggage. Have you ever seen that book?
No.
Okay, you know what it is? It's a series, and I think if you saw it in person, it's not that big, but it's a series of vignettes with little chicks, and it's about divorce. And it's probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And I've not been divorced, but you and I both know a lot of women who are still bitter with baggage. And you are the opposite example of that person. Because, you know, you're bringing your past with you, certainly, but not in that, it's not dragging you down. It's just, it's something that happened, it's in the past, you're staying really focused in the right now, in the present, and you're making plans for the future. So, you know, you're doing everything right.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I can't imagine doing it any better, and I just love the idea. Well, this laundry list I mentioned that I mentioned to the listeners included, you know, moving and whatnot, and I said, you know, change the way you dress, change your hair color, you know, whatever, just do something different, you know, drive a different way to work. Just try and shift your life a little bit because, you know, you never know what'll happen. And you have the ability to make this big move geographically. And wow, look what's happened in your life. I mean, it's just been one positive thing after the other. So you're a really good role model for how to make it work.
You know, I think one important point is that if you're going to make a big change like this, it really is important to understand who you are. And the more you can align with who you truly are deep inside, the more you will be able to lead a very authentic life. And getting in touch with who you are has a lot to do with understanding what's really important to you and what are your core values. It's also important to understand what are you passionate about. And once you identify what those are, then you can develop a vision for your whole life and be very, very clear about what your life strategy is. And once you get that clarity, it's amazing how everything falls into place. You know, when I moved to San Francisco, people said, oh, it's so hard to move, or it's so hard to move cross-country. And it's amazing that because I was so clear about what I wanted to, you know, what kind of a life I wanted to have in San Francisco, what kind of a place I wanted to live in, it was that clarity was really important. And because it was so aligned with what's important to me, my core values and what my top five passions are, that alignment allowed me to make that move in a way that was almost effortless. And everything just fell into place, you know, even moving 100 boxes and 7,000 pounds of household goods across country plus my car, everything just fell into place. And I think the key was that I was making a bold move to do something that was absolutely in tune with who I am.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I have to share with the listeners? Do you remember when you described to me, we had just met for, you know, minutes before, and you were describing the building you wanted to live in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
And how much you wanted this to live in this particular building? Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely.
And I said, I don't think it's going to be that building. And this is a good example of having a goal and being open to reaching it a different way, because tell them what happened.
Well, what happened was, and you know, and that's interesting you bring that up, because I remember you saying that, and I remember my reaction was, what do you mean that's not the place I'm going to be living in? You know, because I was so clear on what I wanted. But what I was trying to do was I was trying to dictate the how. And rather than just clarifying the outcome, I was trying to be too specific about what I was looking for as far as a place to live. What I ended up finding was that instead of renting, you know, because I was originally planning to rent, instead of renting, once I decided to open myself up to buying a place, all of a sudden the landscape shifted and I found what I was looking for immediately. And the place that I ended up buying turned out to be so much better than this other place, you know, that I was stressed about. So, yes, you're absolutely right.
And it was I had just met you, and we were just having a casual conversation over a glass of wine in a bar. And I remember when you described this, I said, but that's not the place, you know. Just let it go. And you looked at me, you looked slightly annoyed. It's like, who is she to tell me that, you know, I'm not going to live there? But I obviously got a lot of pleasure out of hearing what you did find, because I know I get to come and visit you someday. And it's not in the apartment that you originally wanted to be in, that's for sure. So anyway, I've really enjoyed having you on the program tonight, Keiko, and I hope we can do it again. And I really do want to encourage the audience to go to her website, wingsforwomen.net, because she has a lot of information about her coaching practice. And as you can tell, she'd be a lot of fun to work with and get you through that difficult time in a real positive way. So thanks again, Keiko.
You're most welcome, Brenda. Thanks so much for the opportunity with your listeners.
Oh, you're welcome very much. So now I have a question for the listeners. I asked you at the beginning of the show if you could rate your energy before we began. And even though Keiko was talking about a topic that, you know, would to most people be somewhat painful and uncomfortable, I'm curious as to how you'd rate your energy level after listening to the show. Because I actually think you're probably in a more positive way. And if you're not, if you're still feeling a little bit sorry for yourself, or, you know, you're mad because your day was so crummy, you know, flip your switch, as I call it, and feel better right now, because it really is your choice. Oh, and you know what? We have Tony from California is on the line, Keiko. So let's take that call.
Sure.
Hello, Tony.
Hi.
Hey, hi. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. And do you have, are you a divorced man?
I am a divorced man, but I believe that I've gone through what I hope to get through what I need to get through, but I'm calling on hopefully another subject you might be able to help me on.
And what's that?
And that is, it is my not only inward mental clutter, but my external clutter that I need to deal with, and I just find it hard to either get rid of things. I try very hard to get rid of magazines and clothing, and I'm doing I am making progress, but I want to make more progress, and I can't seem to let go of some of these items.
When was your house last clutter free, Tony?
Oh my God. I cannot remember. I don't know if it was. Probably the day that my wife and I moved in. You know.
Oh, you mean it was cluttered when you were married?
Yes, it was. And I think it was cluttered. Yes.
Okay. And have you ever lived, or when's the last? So the last time you ever lived in a clutter-free home was when you lived by yourself before you were married?
Yes, because I had less so-called stuff, and you know, stuff.
Uh-huh.
I am making, maybe it's at a snail's pace, but I am getting rid of stuff. But I feel that when I get rid of more of my stuff, my clutter, my I'll get rid of some of my mental clutter too.
I was just going to ask you how does your mental clutter match your cluttered house? Is it pretty even?
I believe that my external house clutter, magazines, piles, clothing, is if we were to put it on a scale, that weighs more than I think my mental clutter.
Well, you know,
but sometimes the scales can be tipped. You know, when not only I have stuff, but stuff happens in my life.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I am letting go of, which I'm kind of proud of myself. I'm letting go of certain relationships that have added to my clutter, and I feel somewhat cluttered free on some of my relationships.
So if you were to look at your, this is interesting because you're talking about the balance. So if you were looking at, a teeter-totter, and one side is your house clutter and one side is your mental clutter, so as you described it, you've gotten rid of a couple cumbersome relationships. So now
right.
That side's gone up a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So
yeah.
So now, you know, you realize that these are tied together. I mean, that's the first step, because you understand that, you know, a cluttered mind and a cluttered house kind of go hand in hand. You sound very aware of where you are, which is a huge step.
Yeah, you know, it's like I know what I need to do, and I ask myself many times, self, why don't you do it?
Well, you have to have a motivation. What's going to be better when you get rid of the clutter? Tell me what life will be like when the clutter's gone.
Oh, my gosh. It's almost like, at times, not always, it's almost like there's a weight on my chest. And when I do get rid of some of the clutter, go to Goodwill and get rid of that box and clothing, I'm like, great. And then I'm good for a month or so, and then, where did that pile come from?
Uh-huh.
You know, and I keep thinking I'm going to miss something on my last Wine Spectator magazine if I don't read, you know, and I put it there, and it goes by, and
uh-huh.
then all of a sudden I get the next month, and I'm going, whoa, I didn't even look at last month or the other month.
So, you know what's interesting, Tony? You described that when you get rid of some stuff, you feel really good for a while, and then it
right.
piles up again, and then you're back to where you were. But you know how there's a therapeutic level for drugs? This will sound weird. But you know how when you take a pill, it's good for a certain amount of time?
Right.
In your body? So you actually could self-regulate your feeling like a drug does in your body. Because you could make yourself feel better more frequently, couldn't you? By doing that decluttering process on a more frequent basis.
Yes. Now, I'm doing this exercise where I had recipes that I've ripped out of magazines
mm-hmm.
and was going to put them in a book. One day I just said, you know, what's the internet for? If I want a recipe for tomato bisque, you know, I'll go on the internet. I don't need to save the sunset.
Do you go to recipes.com or Epicurious?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I looked at that pile, and although it was a struggle, the little demon on the right said, "No, keep them." The little demon on the right said, "Come on, get rid of it," and I got rid of it. And it was like that. It must have been the longest walk to the recycle
room
I've ever taken.
Well, you know, Tony, everything you're telling me is that you know exactly what you need to do to make yourself feel better. You're very aware of the little voice telling you, what if you throw it away. And,
right.
you know, when you do, what's the worst that can happen? Actually, you raised a really good point, because in your situation, probably everything that you have, especially if it's magazines or recipes or whatnot, is all available on the internet. You know, you can Google it and find it faster than you could in the magazine. So that's just, you know, that's something that's very rational thinking. But I think if you just the idea that you know that you have this balance in your your life. And by having too much clutter, it gets you off kilter. And you sound very aware of knowing when you're off kilter, and you're very aware of knowing when people make you off kilter. So, you know, you're the driver, you're the boss, and you get to make yourself feel balanced and even. Nobody else
right.
can do that. So
I know which pill to take, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of, instead of taking the whole pill, I'll take a little bit of it.
And you know, maybe nothing's wrong with that. Maybe if you, like I described, the self-regulating, the frequency of it, if one of the things that you thought about doing on a, you know, on your writing on your to-do list, you know, might be take something to Goodwill, you know, move something around, move something, you know, just get that, free up some more energy. Because you know what happens
I tried moving stuff around, and I get to the point where I'm just moving piles around.
Okay. Well, I think you need to get it out that front door.
Yes.
You really sound like you are on the tipping point of success with this, because you're so aware of what you're doing.
It's good to hear someone say that, because there's no one else I can say that to. You know, like, I'm making progress, and I have a friend that I say, excuse my piles, and she says, what piles? You know, and it's like, I came to see you, not, you know, you don't have to you know, hide your clutter.
Right.
You know, so I mean,
but you're
I
aware
know.
That it's making you emotionally, you know, you're impaired to a certain extent because it's bothering you so much.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So I think if you formulate a plan that has some regularity to it, it's just a ritual. It's a ritual because the more room you make, the more you get rid of that type of, which is kind of like dead energy, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah. Yes.
So then you have room for a little bit more of that jazzy, fun, positive energy.
Oh, yes. And that I love. That I love. And I think it's a perfect time because being the end of the year, you know, if I haven't looked at June's Sunset Magazine, you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep, nor I know that article that I thought I was going to read is going to come up again.
Yeah. Well,
so,
you know, you sound so on the verge of success to me.
Oh, well, thank you.
But, you know, you're the guy who can make it happen.
Right, right.
You're the guy. Because if someone were to come over and try and help you, you know, my sense is, just like anybody, you'd be somewhat resistant. So the fact that you're doing it a little bit at a time on your own is, you know, is a real plus.
Well, thank you for telling me that.
Yeah,
that
you totally get it.
That makes me want to get rid of some stuff tonight. You know?
Okay, then. I think you should. I think that would be a great thing to do. Symbolic.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that, Brenda.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, and I hope the next time I talk to you that you have less piles then.
Less piles and less stuff.
And more positive energy in your home.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you again.
Good night, Tony.
Good night.
Oh, that was fun. I don't, you know, he's definitely not in the minority with having too much stuff and getting overwhelmed by clutter. I think it's becoming a more and more common today. I'm not sure why, just probably because there's more stuff to buy, and I don't know. I don't have a lot of stuff, so what do you think, Keiko?
I think there's definitely, especially at the end of the year, you're starting to look around your home and figure out, you know, what do you want to do for your new year?
Yeah, what
new
do you want to bring in with you, yeah?
Hmm?
That's
yeah.
so funny.
And like,
but it did sound like he's on the right track.
Yeah, he seems very aware of his situation, and he knows that it's the only person who can do something about it is him.
Right. Well, I hope he does have a little party tonight and ditch some stuff. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up here. And as a reminder, I just want you all to know that I'd love to work with you to create a life that's more fun and more joyful and definitely more adventuresome. So please visit my website for more information. And you can contact me through the meetingbrenda.com website. And I do have a new coaching opportunity, which I'll talk about in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be starting a new group coaching session in January, and I'd love to be part of it, and that would be limited to about 6 people. And next week's show is going to be really fun. I think some of you are familiar with research that shows that when you relive a memory, your subconscious mind doesn't really know if it's happening again. It's that vivid in your mind. So good memories can really make you feel as good as they did when they actually occurred. So next week's show is about what I'm calling feel-good memories, and I want people to call in and share some of their feel-good memories, especially from growing up, because I think we'd all but not. So thanks so much for sharing your lives with us tonight. Good night.